Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 729. This is Kevin DeFrango on the other end. It has been all too long. Shahid Abdul Hadi, what is up, good sir?
Like Samoa Joe, I'll make my return. I don't know how long I'll be here until I'm out again, so hope everyone's doing okay.
It was always, I always hit you up on a bad week. It's just like, oh, I'm working nights this week, and I'm just like, oh, God damn it.
Yeah, I've been just working nights a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad timing. Luckily, things have opened up for me, waka waka, and hey, we finally got you on a show here, so this is gonna be a nice treat. And, hey, we're sticking with the AEW / NXT theme, and I think that the best place to start is with Keith Lee debuting in AEW this week. He is part of Tony Khan's big announcement last week that a new superstar was coming and that someone was coming through a forbidden door. Let's talk about the superstar first. Thoughts on the Keith Lee debut?
Well, if you're able to get Keith Lee, then you sign Keith Lee, because Keith Lee's the type of superstar that AEW crowd would eat up, like an indie favorite that was underappreciated by WWE, getting the second chance to stick it to the man. And AEW crowd tends to lean, you know, smart indie heavy anyway.
Yeah.
But AEW continues the tradition of having black people fight other black people. Because one thing I have noticed watching AEW is, when black people wrestle debut, they tend to beat up each other. And I don't know if it's a quirk. I don't know if it's not noticeable, but I definitely notice it. And it's like, you know, it shows Keith Lee's offense, because one of the things that stands out is someone who looks like that the way he does. And just having that demeanor. Like, Keith Lee is just a combination of conundrums and contrast. Like, he talks silently, oh, greetings and salutations. I'm just a physics professor. My name is Keith Lee. And then we'll beat you up. And is arrogant about it. And does like cruiserweight stuff. And just has enough charisma where someone like that would normally be a heel. And the thing about Keith Lee that makes him special is that he's able to do all that and be a babyface. So it is a good debut. And AEW is fixing their issue of like, they're starting to have a lot more heavyweights and super heavyweights.
Yeah, they're finally getting around to rounding out that that territory, and Keith Lee is definitely a pick that. I mean, I think that pretty much anyone that records on this podcast here likes Keith Lee. I've liked him since I saw him in ROH quite some time ago. At this juncture, you know. I still don't completely understand. Like, I feel like I saw Wade Keller's explanation for why Keith Lee wasn't being pushed in the WWE. And that seems like some shady bullshit to me, honestly. If you got rid of him for weight-related reasons, I'm just scratching my head, honestly.
I mean, Keith Lee looks the way he looks and talks the way he talks. And that's not going to work in WWE.
Oh.
It's rare that they have people with that body type to kind of say, like, Otis is the exception. He's not the rule. And I'm amazed that Otis has had the success that he's had, all things considering. And normally, black wrestlers is kind of like, they got to fit a certain role. And Keith Lee didn't fit that role that they have for those stereotypes. And they can't wrap their head around it. That's been an issue. Like, WWE has been very open about body types, and they accept more people than they normally do, but it still limits to what they do. It still limits to kind of who they accept. And Keith Lee's whole thing is, I don't get him. Because it's like a bunch of old, like, you know, Vince McMahon's an old, Vince McMahon's not going to get Keith Lee.
Oh.
That's just the way it is. So, and if he's making the decision and he doesn't get it, it's, you know, be the Bearcat. Be some nonsense. Like, be a random dude, number one. It's like, you know, Keith Lee ran the same problem that, you Karrion Kross ran into, and a million other people ran into, where EC3 is kind of like, if they don't get you, they don't know what to do with you, and they strip away everything that makes you special, and then blame you for it. That's all. Like, the fact that he was, you know, he was special, and WWE fans would accept him. All you had to do was see him at the Royal Rumble, when he was, like, in the ring with Brock Lesnar, and getting props from Roman Reigns. It's kind of like, you could have made it work if you wanted to, but you didn't want to, so you didn't. So AEW will. And somebody made a joke saying NXT 1.0's shining legacy was basically a farm system for AEW.
Yeah, in some ways. And I guess it wasn't surprising. You mentioned it. The indie darling thing, that's all that NXT was collecting for the longest time. Them getting a little more seasoning in NXT and a little bit of teaching from, you know, Triple H and Shawn Michaels, that's probably a good thing. And, well, most of those guys needed fresh matchups. Keith Lee is not on that list of he needed fresh matchups. There were a lot of other people that, like Adam Cole, that needed some fresh matchups and needed out of there anyway.
Yeah, like there was a ceiling and a limit to what certain people could do, and they had reached it. It's like, you know, Adam Cole, what was Adam Cole going to do in the main roster? Like, looking, I mean, wrestling is a body image company, and it's not just a WWE thing, it's a wrestling thing. And when you're that size in WWE, unless you're Rey Mysterio, Kurt Angle, or built like Finn, like look like a comic book like Finn Balor, you're gonna have problems. Like I've said though, like,
yeah,
what are you gonna do with him? Like Adam Cole is small, like he's a small man. It doesn't take away with how good he is in the ring. He had an excellent match, but it's different when you fight people around the same size and similar size. And some, like, we saw when he fought Keith Lee. It's like, come on now. Keith Lee was fighting an undisputed era. Like, unless they shoot Keith Lee, none of them are beating Keith Lee.
Right.
I remember when we had a show and we brought that up. And it's like, he goes to the main roster. The first time he's in the ring with Ridge Holland or Sheamus, it's like, what are we doing? Like, I only have to bring up, like, Bobby Lashley or Big E or Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns. Like, once you get in a ring with somebody that's been Seth Rollins, you're going to kind of, like, eyeball and say, what is this?
It's
the nature of the beast.
Yeah, and I mean, I've mentioned it even before. Like, and it's kind of applies to Finn Balor, too. When you have abs on top of abs, it's just like, oh, I can understand how this guy can get over on someone bigger than him. But Adam Cole is just like, he's the doughiest small guy ever.
Like, he's a guy built like a softball player. Nothing wrong with that. Muscles don't mean you can fight or can't fight. But
oh,
it's kind
right.
Of like, we're not dealing with a sport where they're actually fighting. So theatrics count. And it's not just that, it's his fight style. Like, Ilya Dragunov is a small man, but he fights like a, you know, he fights like a honey badger.
Oh, yes.
So I could believe fighting the man forming known as Walter, because it looked like he was trying to kill him in real life. And he's has the body type and the wrestling style to pull that off. Finn Balor has the same thing. Adam Cole, that's not Adam Cole's thing. So he doesn't do it that way, so he shouldn't do it that way. So him being in AEW is fine. Like, he'd have a much better career and a much higher ceiling being in AEW than he ever would be in WWE. So God bless him. AEW is just going to run into the problem where eventually they're going to run out of slots. You can only sign so many former indie guys or former, I didn't get a chance on SmackDown. Because then the guys that did get a chance 3 years ago are going to be gone, as it's starting to happen now. Like, you start cycling out contracts. You got two shows. I don't know who watched the YouTube show. It was like, you're going to run out of time. They're going to run into the same problem as WWE did, where they had far too many people trying to fill up this camera, like these hours, and AEW is kind of there now.
We've kind of talked about that. think that was one of those ones that kind of led to Jonah, and I'm trying to remember what his NXT name it was at this point, and it's blanking for me. He was the thick boy. What was his name in the WWE there?
The thick boy. I can't even think about who you're talking about now.
The guy from New Zealand.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. I can't think of his name in NXT either.
Yeah, I'm completely blanking on.
I know exactly who you mean. Part of the type thick NXT, but if I don't have safe search on there, I don't know what may come up.
Yeah, and I'm being too lazy to search for it right now. But anyway, I guess the main point was, to me, if you're AEW at this point, you're like, do you sign Keith Lee or do you sign that guy? And it's just like, I'm sorry, I'm signing Keith Lee over him every day of the week. Their heavyweight division is better, but it's still pretty thin.
Yeah, Bronson Reed was his name.
Oh, goddamn.
I put up NXT North American Champion. He's listed as the heaviest champion. Leon Ruff was about 157 pounds.
I remember those days. I remember those days in college when I actually weighed that little.
Yeah, that was high school. Once I got to college, I was 180, and I've never been lighter since. It's kind of like, of course, it's not Keith Lee. That makes sense. Oh. Keith Lee fits that, and you can have chances. But like, yeah, they need more heavyweights. They're like, y'all trying to push Wardlow. Y'all trying to give him the right back Braun Strowman push. Like, come on now. Oh. Like, don't do this. I'm watching this, and I'll watch this because, like, I've been watching AEW more often for some reason, and I've been watching certain pushes, and I'm watching this whole Wardlow thing become a thing, and I'm just rolling my eyes. I'm like, it proves two things. One, if you want to, and they have a smidgen of talent, you can make anybody a star for a short time frame. So that gives you no excuse when you say you can't push somebody because they're not a star, you can't make a star. You can make anybody a star. Two, just because you can doesn't mean you should. And that's what I see with Wardlow. I'm like, okay, he's a guy that's big in a company that doesn't have a lot of big guys, and he power bombs people. But not, so we got 9-1-1 with a suit on. Like, okay, I guess.
Yeah, he just, to me, he hasn't had a whole lot to go on yet. He doesn't really have a personality. Every time they've given him the, oh, he's going to turn on MJF, he, A, hasn't, and B, pretty much almost exclusively has helped him after doing the fake out that he was mad at him. So yeah, it's kind of hard to fill in a character when MJF is taking up that much room with his own gimmick, honestly.
Yeah, the MJF thing is just a funny thing. He's like 25 years old. Such a young man. And it's one of those whole... He's just proof positive, kind of like if you have something and you push it and they push it, they can make a star, but he just sucks up so much energy. Whereas, like, I guess the whole point is he's splitting away, he's his own man. I'm like, I don't see no charisma coming on board though, like that. Maybe it's not for me. I don't see it. And to me, it's kind of like, I get the storyline that they're doing, but I don't have any investment in it. I just feel like this is like, they're going to put somebody else in this 3 minutes.
I think that he's going to kind of run into that. Wardlow, as big as he is, I think he's almost going to run into that, what was his name? Oh, Jackson Ryker, where he's kind of a big guy, but when you put him next to the Lance Archers and Keith Lees of the world, you're like, He's not quite as big as I thought he was.
Like don't put him next to Billy Gunn. Good to go.
Yeah.
That's what I call Billy Gunn syndrome. A lot of people used to look like, you're big if you don't look small when Billy Gunn is next to you. Because Billy Gunn doesn't look big till he's in the ring. It's like, oh wow, Billy Gunn's a big man. Because he used to make a lot of people look small. And it's kind of like there's that whole thing where it's like you put him in the ring with you put Wardlow in the ring with Luchasaurus, you're gonna be like, oh, okay. Are we sure we pushing the right person? If size is gonna be the whole thing to do. But I mean, if they're not doing that, you have more time for Chris Jericho to be whining with this whole Inner Circle nonsense. Him doing his best being a race. Oh, you remind me of Eddie Guerrero. Didn't he say that about, does every Latin person remind him of Eddie Guerrero? Because I've been hearing that a lot. And I'm like, I'm watching this whole thing, and it's like, none of these people in the ring are likable. And they're just complaining.
That is the one awkward thing about this. They've mostly been heels during their existence. They got a little baby face push there. Then everyone went their own way. You know? And it's just trying to make them a group again. Jake Hager is just. I don't even know why you re-sign that guy. Like, he's done, he's just really brought nothing to the table. I like Santana and Ortiz,
Yes, as do I.
but that's kind of where it ends. Like, yeah, I don't really like anyone else on kind of sort of on Jericho's side. Even, yeah, Sammy Guevara, I do think that that's pretty smart of him to go, nah, I dealt with this once already. You guys are a bunch of fucking assholes. I'm out of here.
Like, until y'all fix this shit, I'm home. Don't call me, I'll call you. Which makes sense, because it's like you don't want to keep going through the same nonsense over and over again.
Yeah, and I don't know why it kind of keeps on cropping up. This is one of those ones where sometimes the storylines in AEW are just as bad and nonsensical as the ones in the WWE.
I mean, it's wrestling. Wrestling
No.
has always had goofy ass storylines, no matter how serious it is. Like, we all talk about Harley Race, like, basically committing a crime, putting a hit out on Ric Flair. It's like, just because Gordon Soley was there with a microphone doesn't make it any less goofy. Saying, yeah, Bristol, you're the champ. I'm tired of Ric Flair. Basically, I not beat him, murder him for $25,000. And it's like, that's wrestling. Wrestling's all, people fought over ties, over shampoo, over a snake. Andre the Giant was one of the biggest monsters in wrestling history, and he was afraid of snakes.
Oh. I forgot about that detail.
Ultimate Warrior got poisoned by voodoo. Like, it happens. It's happening in WWF. It's happening in WCW. It's happening in ROH, TNA, NXT. New Japan. I saw him. First time I watched New Japan, he was like Shelton Benjamin in some faction, and somebody had like a metal glove. It was like a metal claw, and he was hitting him, and he was just laid out. And that claw looked like it was like $5 of plastic. And the announcers making it like, oh, this is the killer hand, like the hand of God. I'm like, Japan, whatever. Like, it's fine. Like, I'm not. I don't put on airs, and it's like I tell people all the time. I try not to have arguments in something where the Irish whip is an accepted thing.
Oh,
That's what
yes.
I tell people. Like we know how physics works, and we know how. Or another example: if you hit someone with a drop kick, they get hurt. If you miss someone with a drop kick, you get hurt. It is
Yeah.
what it is.
I love that one the most. That one was even confusing to me as a child. That was one of the few ones that made me question my wrestling acumen back then.
Like, how does a vertical suplex only hurt one person? Y'all both hitting the ground.
Yeah.
That's not a question we're supposed to ask. But it's like, so it's, yeah, AEW is just, my issue I've always had with AEW, I'm starting to like, lean up, like, starting to, it's less of an issue because they've been fixing it, is that too many of the storylines were involving people that I just couldn't stand on a personal level. They just hurt me to know. And like, I would see Cody Rhodes, the Young Bucks, and Kenny Omega. Like, I don't want to see this shit. So, I mean, like, you know, that's the advantages of having a CM Punk there, of having a Bryan Danielson there, of Adam Page come out. Diversifying the roster, having more people. So it's like, it's something for everyone. You just got to kind of find your niche. And that's what I've been doing watching AEW, trying to find my niche and watch. Because it's like, you know, I get to see Jay Cargo beat people up. And that's fun. So that wipes away the taste of when I see Britt Baker do Shane Douglas impersonation and waste time for 5 or 10 minutes. Yes, I call, in case I haven't told you, I call Britt Baker Shane Douglas 2.0 for a reason. Because I am not a fan at all.
Oh my god. The second you said, I don't think I had heard you say that before or see it on Twitter. Oh, that's hilarious. That is, that's a perfect description. She is definitely ECW Shane Douglas. Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh my gosh. Oh man, I mean, I have enjoyed her run, and anyone that's gonna razz Cleveland, I am gonna be a fan of. So,
but it's like she's fine when AEW first started, but my whole issue with Britt Baker is she gets a whole lot of camera time and she gets a big push, and it's not deserved. And it's kind of like it's the same thing with ECW. Shane Douglas being a champ originally gave ECW credibility because, like, Shane Douglas was a good wrestler. He seemed like a main event person. And that's fine when you're comparing him to, like, the Sandman. Or, like, Raven. Or, like, Mikey Whipwreck. It's cool. Once you have people like Taz and Rob Van Dam that's staying there, then it's like, what are we doing? Stop wasting time. Like, it's kind of like, all right, we can stop playing the PlayStation 2. The PlayStation 3 is out. And that's when I see, like, Britt Baker is kind of like, she's out there, she talks a whole bunch of trash. Tony Schiavone's there being her cheerleader. She cheats with, she has two goons, she always cheat. She's a heel, and they treat her like a babyface. And it's like, she's not a bad wrestler, but she's not. She ain't, they book her like Charlotte. She can't wrestle like Charlotte. You saw how people got tired of Charlotte. At least Charlotte can back it up with a ring. I'm like, Britt can get way more time than nearly every other woman on the roster combined, with the exception of Jade Cargill recently. And as long as that's the case, it's going to be a ceiling as far as what the AEW women do.
Yeah, at first, I feel like her matches have gotten better, but I also think that she isn't maybe progressing anywhere as far as in-ring quality or anything like that goes. Yeah. Like, she's reached a plateau, and that's kind of...
It happens.
Yeah.
And the same thing happened with WWE women, where it's like, you reach a plateau. Sometimes you're Nikki Bella, and you can elevate that plateau and rise above that, and sometimes you're Kelly, where it's like, all right, this ain't good enough anymore. And if you can't get any better, then you can't be at the top anymore. It happens with men wrestlers all the time. Where it's like, what stood out, I call it the Dolph Ziggler thing. Because that's when I really noticed it. There's a time when Dolph Ziggler was like, just stood out for athleticism, and he was like the most athletic person, and put on these matches. It's like, oh, he's like Shawn Michaels. And for a while, that was the case. But then it got a point where it's like, okay, you have people that can do it a lot better than him. Like, you know, you can't, like, Dolph Ziggler looks a lot less amazing once you see what Seth Rollins can do. Once you see what AJ Styles can do. I'm not even going to talk about Ricochet, but that's a whole different level. But it's like, once the bar gets elevated, is like once the bar gets elevated and you can't elevate it with it, the shine comes off. And you have to adapt in different ways. Britt Baker's whole thing is, I see her and I see what her ceiling is. And I see something new, like I see something like Jade Cargo. I'm like, she can be there, Bianca Belair, if they wanted to be. Because she has a much higher ceiling as far as just not only personality, charisma, but just like, if you have a great athlete that can learn, then the sky's the limit. If you have an average athlete, there's always going to be a ceiling they hit. Like, you know, Bobby, the best of all time, he can only go so far. And Bobby is a good athlete. But, like, Bobby would never be able to do, theoretically, what Sting could do. Because Sting was a much better athlete. Like, that's just how it works. Like, if it was just about skill and talent, Dean Malenko would be a very rich man. But he's not.
Yeah, and sometimes you got to do... We talked about it a little bit last week. Like, you've got to almost, when you have physical limitations like that, I'm thinking about, just because I can't think of any women that kind of have a slow pace to their wrestling, honestly. I'm thinking, because what was that? Was it CM Punk in the main event last week? Yeah, against MJF. That was just a really slow-paced, kind of more almost 80s-ish type of layout to a match. And I always think about Randy Orton in that kind of regard, too, where he has more of a throwback style. Britt Baker's trying to do more of, you know, the fast-tempo, up-paced match that's more modern. And she almost really needs to dial it back because, like you said, like her athleticism isn't there. And I guess that's why I think about also someone like The Miz, where it's just like he knows what his in-ring limitations are and he works around them.
Yeah. I'll use a perfect example. Becky Lynch.
Oh.
Becky Lynch is Stone Cold Steve Austin. Out of the four horsewomen, she's probably the least athletic of the four. And they're probably not even close. She knows she's not going to out-athlete anybody. So she doesn't even try to. She's just like, I'm just going to kick you and punch you and beat you up and be charismatic doing it and stay in that lane and maximize that lane. So it works for her. And it's like, if you can't, you have to find what works best for you. And Britt's whole thing is like, Shane Douglas' whole thing was, it's like, he a bargain basement Ric Flair, which was hilarious because he used to talk about how Ric Flair was trash. And it was like, Shane Douglas' claim to fame is, he's technically sound. Whoop, like, big whoop. It ain't nothing Shane Douglas could do that Dustin Rhodes couldn't do 5 times better.
And Dustin Rhodes is still doing it.
They made Shane Douglas seem important because they told us he was important. As long as you believe that lie, it worked until you stop believing it. I never believed that lie with Britt Baker. And that's the difference.
Oh.
And before she got away with it because it was like, whoa, they're going to push everyone else. It's a blonde people. That's just a bunch of blondes that kind of all the same. You know, I could Penelope Ford, the Bunny, Anna Jay. Like, Tanara Conte only stands out because she's Brazilian. And she let us know, say she's a minority because she has an accent. Like, yeah, whatever. And she fights a different style. But it's like, and they don't want to push the Japanese wrestlers because only NXT does that. Once fans start coming back, that whole Japanese thing, like, nah, make it in the USA, baby.
Yeah, the only thing that, although I believe she's American, I'd have to look it up. Thunder Rosa, I get, because I don't know if she's American or actually South American of some nature.
Is she American? Is she Mexican American or just Mexican? And it's kind of like, that's the women. Like, one of the advantages that WWE has is like they have so many women that even if they get rid of a lot, they're never going to run out of women wrestlers. So AEW had to play kind of catch up. And then with COVID being a thing, it's hard to get wrestlers, like, or get some people from Japan. And today it's like, they can't travel, you can't get them. So you kind of stuck with what you have, and they're doing a better job fleshing out that roster, but it's still the whole, I see Britt Baker come out, DMD, and then 5 seconds later, I see Rebel come out, looking all clumsy, and now the girl in the head told you, oh, it's the best, I'm like, no, it's not. I know you just want to lie on wrestling, but I can only take so many lies. It's the same thing like when Chris Jericho was champ. I'm like, yeah, I get it when it starts. You're done with all of that. No. So he's older than me. He's almost a decade older than me. Like, and I thought about it. You know, the only, like, because I think about Chris Jericho, and I'm like, the only people that's still wrestling when he was wrestling on a regular basis is Rey Mysterio, who is probably a cyborg, and Sting, who was older. And then think about that, because Chris Jericho said about he wants to be The Undertaker now. I'm like, it makes sense, because he's basically the last old man standing that wants to wrestle semi-full time.
Yeah. I mean, because I guess I would think of... No, Triple H is probably a little bit older than him. I'm trying to think of anyone... But, anyone else from that time period that's kind of lasted.
Like Triple H is kind of done. Or Mysterio is still around, still wrestling full time. But you got to think about it. He's like new generation era. He's like Bret, you know, like a lot of people are dead. So. Oh. No.
Well, yeah, that's it. You mentioned Dolph Ziggler earlier. Like, Dolph Ziggler's been around for a long-ass time, but I wouldn't put him in the same category as Chris Jericho.
No, Chris Jericho's about two generations before Dolph Ziggler. That's how, or probably three. Because you kind of look at it where it's like, yeah, Chris Jericho was wrestling in the original ECW when he was, like, yeah.
20 or something like that.
Yeah, like Chris Jericho is like Undertaker era. The Undertaker is an old ass man. Like Sting is the grandfather. Like he's still doing it. He's like, he was Macho Man Randy Savage era. Like,
oh.
So yeah, it just shows how it's funny you do a roundabout way. When I think about where they stand, like Chris Jericho, the wrestling was like, he can't. He's like, you know. And we're like, I'm wrestling, it's a special occasion, I'm not going to be champ anymore, I'm more as a mentor for people over, like, he's not going to do what he's been doing, and the fact that he's still doing it at this age is just amazing, you think about it, but it just shows how special Rey Mysterio is, because, like, people not expect Rey Mysterio to be wrestling at this point, and Rey Mysterio's still wrestling well, and he's been wrestling, and somebody made an article saying, you can make an argument that he's probably on the Mount Rushmore of best American wrestler of all time. And I couldn't say how you were wrong. Just as far as like longevity career and quality of matches, because it's like, who has wrestled as long and has been as consistently good as Rey Mysterio?
Most of those people in his age bracket, you know, I'm sitting there going... Just, well, even Jericho, you're like, oh my God. Like, Jericho's good matches have all been the brawls and things where you don't need to do too much in the ring. I mean, hey, I had as much fun as anyone joking about his lapsed lion salt the one time. Dude, A, you didn't bust that out a lot anyway, so why were you trying to? You know, yeah, you can definitely tell that Jericho cannot do the same things athletically that he used to do. And then you have Rey Mysterio, is either this week or last week, where he takes that running bump off the ring apron and then rolls through when he gets to the floor. And he just pops up like there's no problem and hops right back into the ring. A man, I don't know exactly what his age is, but he should not be doing that shit. And it's,
and keep in mind, people talk about, hey, he had bad knees and he need to slow down or retire. And it's like, he went somewhere and got new knees. Because he's moving better than he did like probably like 5 or 6 years, like 5 or 6 years ago. He's 47.
Good gravy. Good God.
47. He started wrestling in 89.
I couldn't even think about moving like that. Not happening.
Like that at 27. So, and it's just a funny thing. And we've talked about before how age kind of sneaks up on people, because you kind of think of like, Dolph Ziggler, old. Kofi Kingston, they old. They're like Miz, like they're in their 40s now. They are old men now. No, like that Ruthless Aggression era age, they're all old. I was like, even, cause I guess we can move on. Oh, and one more thing about AEW, that main event match, that's just sickening.
That's what?
Lance Archer, that is disgusting. That Lance Archer Hangman Page match. Shit was disgusting. And what is it with these, and trust me, these wrestlers, like, it's some of our white wrestlers that we have those weird ass nicknames that sound racist, like somebody called Murder Hawk. Like, no, I want no parts. He has not mentioned me on national TV. And I'm watching this match and I'm watching what Adam Page is going through. And I'm like, you know, it's a pandemic, right? You ain't gonna be bleeding all over me. Like, no.
That match was. It's one of those things where I guess after realizing or maybe letting it really sink in what was happening in the old ECW and things like that, where you're just going, ooh, yeah, that chair shot seemed like a fun idea when I was 21 and drinking heavily while watching the show. Now when I'm even 25 and not heavily drinking, I'm realizing how much of a problem this is. Those types of matches,
crimes.
With, like Archer and Paige had, I know that they try to protect them better. That Adam Page bump on the stairs looked fucking brutal. He bounced off the side of the stairs. And bent them, I'm pretty sure, at the same time as he bounced.
Yeah, tomorrow you break it. You can only break your fall so much when you're landing on something that is harder than you. It's going to hurt. And as we get to discuss, it's like, even in the wrestling ring, they are slamming each other on a tree.
Oh.
Like, you know, it's like, it is not a trampoline. Like in the Indies, they are landing on a tree, and those ropes are made of like metal, cable, steel. That shit hurt. Like wrestling in general hurts, and you try to make it as safe as possible. You try to want it to look like it hurt while trying to avoid the pain. But now some people are like, no, I'm old school. I really want to beat them up. I'm like, imagine they did movies like that. Jackie Chan with FCT by now. Like, no, I want you to hit me for real to make it look. No. Let boxing do that.
I'm not getting paid enough for that.
I gotta do my cowboy shit, bleed all over the place. It's like, no, that's what a cowboy do. And I'm getting up off the damn horse. I'm a city boy. No thanks.
Oh man, yeah, that match was pretty wild, and at least did need to be mentioned before skipping on to. You were talking about all the old guys. I guess we can talk about a bunch of these young guys that are popping up on NXT here. I guess, what are your general thoughts before getting into anything specific? Like, are you adjusting to the 2.0 era of wrestlers here? Are you liking it? Are you not?
I love NXT 2.0 because it's kind of like they're throwing things at the wall and seeing what sticks. and they have no problem. Like, and if this doesn't sound like it's working, they'll change it. A perfect example, like somebody, Nikki Lyons, one week is like, oh, my daddy was a rock star, my mama was a groupie, and here I came, and here I am, singing badly and rapping worse. And then next week you tell like, oh, I used to hang on the bars, and I could defend myself, but I just like picking fights. So she went from being like a whore daughter to somebody that became out of Double Deuce and Roadhouse. I learned how to use nunchucks so I could pick fights at a bar. Hey, whatever works. If you want to put down a microphone and become a Ninja Turtle, I ain't going to stop you. That's what NXT 2.0 is. It's fine if something that works, and if you got to make an adjustment, make an adjustment. I know. Kushida giving that, I wear a shirt, and my tag team partner wears a shirt. Is it goofy? Yes. Is it fun? Yeah. Like, Kushida's not going to become world champion. He don't get paid. So, what does it matter? Find something that works. Do something different. Like, Wendy Chu wrestling in pajamas with a... It stands out. I have no idea how agile she is wrestling in a onesie, but she makes it work.
Yeah, I don't know if that's looser than most onesies or fits differently because it's for professional wrestling. Yeah, she does. That is a goofy as hell gimmick.
I just like to sleep. And then I wake up and I'm half asleep. Like, I've seen drunken style. I've never seen sleepy style kung fu. And that's the whole thing. Is like, I'm trying to take a nap, but I'm going to hit you with a German suplex and a snuggie. The crowd is eating it up. It stands out. It's working. And that's what NXT 2.0 is just trying to figure out what works. Like, I know people have an issue with how NXT is now because they missed the old days where NXT was basically, you know, indies with a budget, where you get to see Johnny Gargano and Timothy Thatch and Samoa Joe. Like, you basically saw the best of these young guys getting a chance and a fair chance. But NXT was supposed to be developmental, and it's kind of like a Timothy Thatch, which you're going to teach him. You know, what you going to... At one point, it's kind of like, yes, I'm enjoying watching Bobby Fish, but that kind of defeats the point of what NXT is supposed to be. Like, do you want NXT to be your developmental system, or do you want it to be a super indie? And that seemed to be the back and forth tug, and they decided, like, no, we need to make more stars, especially AEW being a thing, so cut out the indie stuff. Sign gymnasts, sign football players, sign whoever, train them to be wrestlers. And I know it's very divisive because it's kind of like you turn on it and you bust some of that stuff, and it's like, huh? Like, and a lot of times I watch and I'm like, oh, this is different, but they shouldn't have any pressure. Like, you're not competing with AEW anymore, so throw everything at the wall and see what sticks, because you never know.
Yeah, from that standpoint, it definitely, they've done that. I was looking at another name as you were talking, that you were talking about how maybe things don't work. Duke Hudson, that man, vast improvement after getting his hair cut. Not sure why anyone thought the poker gimmick was going to work to start with.
You like the gambler?
I mean, I did love Kenny Rogers back in the day. But, and actually, I watched that movie sometime recently, and I probably hadn't watched it since whenever it came out in 84 or something like that. I was just like, well, yep, this was a movie. If you're going to have him be a gambler, he needs to win. I kind of understood the story that they were telling with Cameron Grimes in some ways. But it's also a weird way to introduce a new person. Like, hey, here's their gimmick. this really rich, weird Southern guy is going to beat him by playing stupid. Why are you falling for a bluff? Like, he was freaked out by a bluff.
He's not American. You don't know how the rules work.
Sometimes it doesn't work, and you've got to change it. And I think that AEW's kind of done the same thing, where they're just like, ooh, maybe that gimmick wasn't hitting the way that we thought it was. Maybe we should change this.
Yeah. I mean, it's nothing wrong with changing things.
No.
It's kind of like people make fun of the NXT, like, well, I don't know what they're doing. It's like, they're doing what they should have been doing. It's like trying to make a new generation, and you're trying to figure out what works, and this is the time. Like, if it wasn't on TV, you wouldn't care. Because that's when the whole NXT was a diehard network thing. It's like, it wouldn't matter that much. And now, it's because it's on TV, it's like, want to get all precious about it. I'm like, it is, cut that out. and I do like the fact that they are implementing more like, we don't know what to do with you on the main roster, so we send you down. Because look at Mandy Rose, it was like,
oh,
she was kind of like, we know she has talent, but we don't know how to use it. She goes down the WWE, she goes down to NXT, gets a spray tan and dyes her hair, and she's, like she said, I came down, y'all need stars, and I'm a star. That's y'all fault if y'all don't like it. And she's a star down there. And Toxic Attraction is one of the main, you know, focal points of the show. It works. AJ Styles coming down to NXT works. Dolph Ziggler showing up with his old ass trying to get a title shot. Work. I'm like, it's just funny because it's like, I feel bad for Santos Escobar. It's like, they know he's good, but every time you're about to get a chance, somebody just interrupts. Like, somebody just gets in his way.
Oh, yeah. Santos kind of keeps on getting the short end of the stick with that stuff. The only thing that he really got to run with was the Cruiserweight Championship, and thank goodness he wasn't the one to lose it to... I guess it would have been fine with him losing it to Carmelo Hayes in a combination situation like we had anyway. But yeah, he probably didn't need to take that particular L, I guess.
True. But no, seeing Dolph Ziggler there, because like, Dolph Ziggler is one of those people where it's like, you know, we mock him, but like, we know, we respect his talent. He's been here for a long time. He's a real tough guy. So the NXT crowd is going to like that. Him having like, you know, I don't even know who you people are. I'm going to give y'all credit. But, like, it's delusional. Like, he's at a high enough level where it works, but at a low enough level, it still come off as delusional. Because it's kind of like, all right, Dolph, this ain't 2018 or even 2011 or 2012. You can relax. You're trying to Bigfoot. So, like, it's different, like, when an AJ Styles does it, when a Dolph Ziggler does it. But it's supposed to, because he's supposed to come off delusional. And, yeah, they have some of the Brown Breaker. I don't know why you can't just use his name, but I mean, I don't get the reason, but it's like, he's special, and they know he's special.
Yeah, and they've actually treated him like he's special. Like, it's one of the few times where I'm going, hey, they actually know how to do this stuff without, like, getting in their own way.
That's what they're doing, you know, and it's like, they can be serious, because they have... those old knots. Like, I knew, I'll call him by his name, because I'm at the type of, oh, he's always Walter. It's like, if he Gunter now, he's Gunter. I knew something was up when he started getting abs.
Oh.
I'm like, do that for, you don't do that because you're bored. Like, he starts slending down, getting abs, and then all of a sudden, yeah, oh, he's him normally coming to America was like, I only come here when it's important. So when he starts slimming down, I'm like, oh, he's coming over. So he came over, and he brought Imperium, and yes, I call them, you know, the ring Nazis, because everything about them screams master race.
I mean, they obviously tried to lean into that a little too much, so he's only Gunther instead of Gunther Stark.
Like, oh, because, come, like, you try to tell me, Walt, like, when I heard the name Walter, I'm thinking, I'm like, he should have a hat with an eagle on it. And you know, and I'm not talking about the American eagle either. Like, it is, yeah, you don't have to lean that much into it. Like, yeah, name it after like a Nazi U-boat commander, so big much. For WWE. And I'm like, nobody double check that. Like, y'all didn't put that in Google and see what might come up? Like, quality control?
Yeah, it's not that hard to search here, guys. There's this thing called the internet.
Yeah. Find some nerd that's on your message board and have them check for you. Be too lazy to check it. But no, them leaning into it, like, it works. And having them wrestle heel, like, and they'll wrestle baby faces, they'll wrestle heels. Stuff like, you know, that works. You can have something as simple as Io Shirai trying to find a tag partner because Zoe Stark's hurt. Or you can have something goofy as like Sarai, like, I kept losing, so I found my grandmother's Infinity Stone and became a Power Ranger. It worked, whatever works.
Yeah, it's goofy. But after, like, last week when I saw it, I'm like, what is this shit? But I'm like, hey, if they're going to do this this magical, you know, outfit change coming to the ring all the time, you know what? Like you said, have at it. Like, it's some weird, yeah, I guess I didn't really watch the Power Rangers. So I'd always defer back because I wouldn't call them I wouldn't call it a Voltron situation, really.
Yeah, well, it's how like they have her there. She's dressed with her, you know, school, you know, her school outfit, and then the gem shines, and she's like ready to fight. It's like, yeah, I found my grandmother's magic bracelet, and I'm winning again. I'm like, look, if you can bring it with you on the main roster, that's fine. Because you keep in mind, she was different anyway. Because normally they have Japanese wrestlers. They don't lose like the first 6-7 months. And with her, it's like, she lost in like 3 weeks. You're like, oh, she's not. And it's kind of like, okay, she's not Asuka. She's not Kairi Sane. And she's not Io Shirai. They're not pushing that way. So it just felt weird because we're just used to like, oh, she's Japanese. She's going to just win all the time. So having that become a storyline is different. And it stands out. Like, is it goofy as hell? Yeah, it's goofy as hell. But is it any more goofy than beloved face stalker Dexter Lumis?
That is still one of the weirder things running on TV still. On NXT. That still is working without one person saying a goddamn word.
Well, baby, he's married, he's in a stable marriage, he's like, yeah, I have sex with my wife, I choke people out, I never talk, and I'm a hero. Yeah, only in wrestling. but that's why I think of NXT, and like we talked about women before, we said how they never run a woman. I look at somebody, Tiffany Stratton, it's like, they grew her out of the lab. It's like, let's take Mandy Rose and Charlotte and combine them. Like, where do they find, like, I'm looking like, where do they find these people? And it's like, it's kind of like, let's go, you know, she's a gymnast and she looks like that. Teach her how to wrestle. It's like, she's like, what, 21, 22?
Oh, I don't know how young she is.
Yeah, no, she's young. She's like either 21 or 22. I looked it up. Cause she's okay. Like, she's one of the more recent classes. And the whole thing is like, I'm a rich, you know, I'm a rich blonde that's a gymnast. That's her gimmick. I'm here, you know, I spend daddy's money. I'm better than all you, and I can fight, and I can do flips, and I just happen to look the way I look. And it's like they grow them out of the lab. And you just think about the whole thing. It's like these women grew up watching, like, Beth. Like, the one thing is, I remember watching the Beth Phoenix documentary, and the thing that stood out with her, she said, the reason why she thought she could do it is because China did it. And then I hear somebody like Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair say, the reason they could do it, they thought they could do it, is because Beth Phoenix does it. So you gotta think about it. Like, it's a generation of women who treat Beth Phoenix like, you know, she's a pinnacle. So people talk about, why Beth Phoenix Hall of Fame? That's why. Like,
Oh.
Like Lita and far as women go, like they like a couple of generations. Like, cause they like the attitude a long time ago.
Yeah,
we kind of need to remember that it is. And it's like we don't treat the women like they old. And it's like it's good seeing Lita do it again, but just remember, like some of these might not even be born yet. This wrestling now. So like, why are people surprised? Where it's kind of, oh, Beth Phoenix is a big deal. Bella's a big deal. Yes, they're probably women growing up now that want to be a wrestler, but they saw the Bella twins. Like, accept oh. that. Like, just like, I know you don't want to hear that, especially with Nikki Bella, because you slut shamed her because she got breast implants. It was Jay and John Cena, not like her noble sister Brie. Like, whatever. But that's a story for another day. I'm not gonna rant about that. I have done that before. But overall, I am a fan of NXT 2.0. I like how they're mixing the old and the new. Like, they still have, you know, Tommaso Ciampa there being like, you know, the guy in the hand. They still, you know, we still have, you know, Imperium doing their thing. You still have the old people and then bringing in new people, mixing them up. You know, Pete Dunne is still there. Like, Pete Dunne feud with Tony D'Angelo, like an asshole feud with an asshole. Perfect. They're both pricks in different ways. Let them find out who's the baddest prick on the planet. And I love it. Like, it's like, that's what they should be doing.
Yeah, Tony D'Angelo has been a little bit of an interesting one. I'm glad they've at least cut down on his raging Goomba-ness recently.
Oh my, did not get me started on that. I was getting so mad at my black friends, like, oh, I'm here for that little hand gesture. I'm like, no, what are we doing? Like, his gimmick is like, this is too much. And I'm like, we forgot about the Godfather, for how they talked about us. Like, he probably be doing it too. Like, oh, it's cool. I'm here for him. I'm tying it up. I'm like, no, I do not trust WWE to have any restraint with Tony D'Angelo. Like, I'm in the roofing business, and I got somebody sanitation and all doing the hand gesture and bribing people. I got a cousin in sewage and all that. I'm like, oh god, you gonna hit somebody with his move gonna be the cannoli driver. Like, what? It's 2021. It's 2022. You need to stop doing this goofy shit.
I'm almost disappointed that his finishing maneuver isn't the cannoli driver. That would be outstanding.
I'm amazed at the fact that they take so many chances with, since, you know, Triple H's not there, it's kind of like somebody Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams, I would like to think they wouldn't have gotten a chance under like normal circumstances, because they're like, the thing that kind of threw people off with NXT 2.0, and I can say with you because we're family, is NXT 2.0 is very ethnic. They lean into how different it is. And these old fans, like, I don't know who this Ali J is. Like, I've heard, like, she's not a big deal. I heard of her. But come on now. You see a woman that looks like that, they don't, like, the average fans don't know. Like, where's Poppy? That's like, no, way past that. Poppy waiting for Uncle Hunter to come back from his heart attack. We are moving on. We are elevating to 2022. We are listening to rap music. We are doing new things. We're leaning in, stuff like that. And that's what I like. Like, they're trying different things. They're doing different things. And one more thing about NXT 2.0. I did not see this LA Knight thing coming, where he basically became Stone Cold Steve Austin. Because when he first came, I'm like, this guy seemed like he in the wrong era. That's the first thing that came to my mind. Like, I'm like, he would have been great in like 2000 or 2001. Like, he seemed like a throwback. And I'm like, he talks like he's an awesome talker, but it's like everything about him just seems retro.
Yeah, he was that way in Impact, and he's really pretty much brought the same gimmick over and tweaked it a little bit. And it has been, that's been the darndest thing. I'm not surprised that Cameron Grimes is getting over. I'm still almost shocked with LA Knight's age and really at this point his ceiling, they kept him around, honestly. And it's the right decision. He's been great. Like, it's the weirdest thing. I would not have expected him to prosper in the WWE, especially at this juncture when you're talking about them kind of rebooting the whole program, and this guy sticks around. I'm surprised, but pleasantly so.
Yeah, he got one word over. If you know how to, and this is funny.
A
simple word like the saying, yeah, just like is the new what. And I've heard they have plans for him, like post WrestleMania, he's going to be on the roster because he has the size. He can talk his ass off. Like, if you can, if you got a body, you're going to get a chance. And he definitely has, like, he has charisma. But it's like the whole thing is like, he old. It's like running like a Bobby Roode thing. Oh, this young up and comer Bobby Roode. Like, Bobby Roode about to be a granddad. Oh, yeah, we wave past Blue Chipper. Like, remember the whole thing with the boogeyman? Is like, how old are you? 30. How old are you? 30. Tell the truth. How old are you? 30. If you lie to me one time, I'll fire you. Or I'm 40. And he's like, well, if you was 30, you could be a star. But you go late to start now, 40. But like, then he still became what he became. It was like, they used to be a death sentence. And now it's like, you wouldn't think they would sign somebody. It's because of age.
Yeah.
Like, where you going to go? By the time you get there in the main roster, you give him a few years. He's like 45, 46. It's like, yeah. But they did. It works. I'm a fan.
I think his in-ring style will probably allow him to go a little bit deeper into his age, honestly. Just because he isn't doing any of the high-flying stuff for the most part. I mean, dude looked awkward doing a missile dropkick, for Pete's sakes. Just keep it on the ground and we'll be fine, Mr. Knight.
Yeah, mid, let's just be like the mid, like the Rock. Punchy kick.
Oh, yep.
Like the Rock stop. Yeah, it just fine. I ain't like doing a damn dropkick. No, like Triple H used to do a damn spinning kick like you land storm. It's like, yeah, that shit lasts like 2 months. Like, I don't know damn dropkick. What's wrong with y'all? That's that goofy shit. I'm punching and kicking. I'm slamming you. I ain't getting so. Stick with what you know. It works. So I'm a fan of NXT 2.0. I'm just a fan of it because it's like they just try things and they try different things and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But I'm never bored. That's one thing I say about that. Except for when I see that the medium Khali Von Wagner.
The medium Khali. Oh my gosh.
Boy, that man got a jawline that's like, man, you should have been in Jurassic Park. He does not seem like he's with us. Ever since then, I'm like, y'all just pushing him because he's big. I'm like, this man barely looks human. And he's just out here, oh, you don't respect me. And I'm like, shut up, you big monster. But if you get hype, you'll get a chance. But like that, and for that aside, for the most part, I'm a fan of NXT 2.0.
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, it's taken some getting used to on my end, but I'm getting used to it, and I'm kind of getting in the groove. I don't like all the stuff, but like you said, they're kind of throwing shit at a wall and things are going to change. It does seem like they keep on. You mentioned the one woman, and Nikita Lyons getting another promo. I feel like there was someone else that they kind of had a sit down promo for or something like that, or another introductory promo this week. So I think that the faces are going to change a little bit. We'll see, I suppose, moving forward, how much those faces change.
Like, you know, and you can move up and down the roster. Like, you know, right, it's just amazing where you would think Raquel Gonzalez would have the belt for a long time, and she had it for like, what, 2 months?
Yeah, I am shocked, honestly, that she's not on the main roster at this point. And she didn't even make an appearance in the Rumble to really make it seem like she was moving up there. It's just like, here you are, you're in a tag team with Cora Jade at least to kill some time, and we'll see what we do with you afterwards.
Well, she's young enough where they don't have to rush. It's the whole thing with like Rhea Ripley, and maybe they want to avoid what happened with Rhea Ripley, where it's like, don't do it unless you're ready to use them. Because it's kind of like Rhea's biggest thing was they had a plan, and then she had visa issues, and then it was like she went backwards and had to do a whole restart.
Oh.
And then at the same time, it's like she had a, and then she ran an issue where Bianca Belair became a thing. And it was like, it just get your spot taken. So, and it's funny that the three of them are, you know, like homies, and they kind of like, you just look at the three of them like, women wrestlers come far. You look at those three, because it's like Bianca Belair is like, I call her Scott Steiner.
Yeah.
She can do everything. Like,
yeah.
She can do anything and everything in a ring, and it is unfair. Like, it is blatantly unfair. Rhea Ripley, Rhea Ripley's biggest problem, like, they try to push it to me. Like, she's just a monster and a prick. Why aren't we cheering for her?
Oh.
Everything about her scream, I'm an asshole. And I can beat up nearly everybody in the ring and but the same thing like Raquel Gonzalez, where it's like a 5'10 woman baby faces. I remember watching Rhea Ripley versus Zelina, and I'm like, yeah, this seemed like this is like a fetish match.
No.
this is the whole dynamic, the size different, like, you know, a baby face bullying a small heel is just, yeah, off. But yeah, the Raquel Gonzalez thing is funny. I think what happened with her is Mandy Rose happened, and Toxic Attraction just blew up.
Oh.
Otherwise, I think she had a belt. And then it's kind of like they didn't really have anybody for her to wrestle because she beat everybody on the way of getting the title.
Oh, yeah. Yep, yeah. She didn't really have anywhere to go at that point. It was kind of a... She'd feuded with Dakota Kai how many times? Like 3 times already? It's just like, okay, we've done this enough, guys. I get that they were best friends.
Yeah, they rebuilt the NXT women. It's kind of like they didn't have time to do. They couldn't do that with her being champ. Mandy Rose was like brand new, where it's like she hadn't really feuded with anybody. She's just like there being hot and having, you know, I can do enough to get by with the match, so she can have a feud with anybody. Like, Raquel Gonzalez had fused everybody. And that's the biggest thing with, like, Mandy Rose being a champ, was like, you got to do a lot of smoke and mirrors, because you put her in a ring like Io Shirai, it's like, come on now.
Oh.
Don't play in my face. I know it's pro wrestling. Don't play in my face like that. Like, I'm not thinking she can be her, and she's not good enough to hang with her. It's like, Io was going to have to wrestle down to her level to make the match competitive. And that's probably the reason why they haven't had, they've had her wrestle certain people and avoided certain people. Because, like, some of those wrestlers in NXT will make Mandy Rose look bad. You don't want your champ to look bad, which is smart.
She's been pretty protected so far in-ring at this point. And I guess that I'm assuming that was the main problem, honestly, with Mandy on the main roster. I thought that she was getting better in the ring, but they don't even in NXT seem to have a whole lot of faith in her in-ring abilities, considering that JC Jane and Gigi Dolan do the, I would say, majority of the wrestling for that group.
Yeah. It's the Eva Marie thing, where it's like, she's athletic, but she's not agile. And it's kind of like,
oh,
she's a pixie power wrestler. Where it's like she looks like a Barbie doll. She's out here, you know, doing, like, she wrestles like a power wrestler, but she's not that big. So it's kind of like, it's Mandy Rose ring style doesn't make sense. Like, because it doesn't match her look. Like, she wrestles like a bully, but she ain't big enough to be a bully. It's like, it's the same issue. It's like, low key. It's like, come on now. Like, cut that goofy shit out. Like, it's about, come on. He really gonna bully our folks? Like, no. Like, that works to a certain extent. And then you gotta turn that disbelief meter way up. And that's the thing with, like, Mandy Rose, where it's kind of like, it's a weird thing where she wrestles a power style, but she's not big enough to do that with a lot. Like, Raquel Gonzalez is a big woman.
Oh, yes.
What's her name? The Persia Parada and her tag team partner. They're big women. They got some big damn women on the roster.
Yeah, her and Indy Hartwell are big women.
And even like somebody like you put her in the ring like Last Legend gonna look like Xena, like somebody like that. Like they got a lot of big women on NXT, and they have a lot of small. And it's kind of like keep them. It's a reason why they keep them separate. Like have them wrestle with the people that's about the same size, or it's like if they're taller. Where it's like Gigi Dolan and Jada Jane are tall, but they're not like big. They're just like tall.
Oh yeah.
Indy Hartwell is like an Amazon. Next to them, and it's like it's a reason why they keep certain things separate because it makes sense. So, but problem is, you have her as a champ, so it's more like charisma based. And the biggest issue with the NXT women, and I know we talked for a long time, is all the champs can go as far as the women go, all of them to some certain extent. And she's the first one where it's like I'm getting by on vibes, and that's where it's like it's a. And it's like you said, the whole Britt Baker thing is a ceiling for that. And it's worse than NXT women because they got a lot of women that can go. And she can't keep up with that. But she's charismatic where it's like, well, we got to do something. It's, yeah, we have what we have.
Oh, so that leaves us, you wanted to talk a little bit about Raw. Anything in particular that you wanted to talk about from the big show here? On Monday night.
Yeah, there's a few things. One, I'm amazed. You know how I know Randy Orton's over? Because they can do this goofy ass Jeopardy stuff and $1,000 pyramid stuff and not get booed out the arena. They can get the crowd enthused and after them. Because we have seen skits like this just down the damn line. We've been watching Raw for a long time. And the worst thing we say about Raw is like when you do non-wrestling stuff in the ring for a long time. It's like, nobody did not pay money to see this. And somehow, people are 5 to 10 minutes getting involved and cheering for Randy Orton and Matt Riddle playing like Trivial Pursuit or Jeopardy with Chad Gable and Otis. I have no idea how that happened. I have no idea how Chad Gable still has a job or how Otis has a job. And they are thriving. Randy Orton is like, I don't know who more. If Brock Lesnar wasn't a thing now, I'm so amazed at how Randy Orton. Like, Randy Orton now is like, he's. I'm trying to think of an example. Like, he's just. The man. Like, he's just this respected veteran that everybody likes. The crowd cheers him. And that goofy shit with Riddle just works. And I knew Randy Orton was over because I didn't show with you when they had a pay per view. And they booed the Street Profits in Atlanta, Georgia, and cheered for Randy Orton.
Oh.
Black-ass Atlanta, Georgia cheered for Randy Orton. Randy Orton came out with Migos. They treated Randy Orton like he was Rick goddamn Flair. And I'm like, yeah, that's how you know.
that was the real changing point for you.
And then Randy Orton's like, oh, yeah, I knew them. I took a picture with them before they were famous. He brought a picture up like 7 years ago. Saw him in the airport. I'm like, yeah. Randy Orton has reached that point where it's like, you know, I'm a celebrated veteran. And anything I do is over.
Yeah.
That's one of the things.
That segment, I was sitting there going, this is horrific. The most important thing, though, is what you pointed out. The crowd did not crap on that thing.
They were into it.
Yeah.
I have no idea how they were into it. Like, kudos to Chad Gable, because Chad Gable doing a lot of heavy lifting, this little sniveling prick. Like, and Otis just being, I would not want to see Otis in no dark alley. Him without a beard and that haircut's like, yes, this, that, he looks like, yeah, they, that change up with Otis, like, he looks dangerous. And they treat him like, yeah, he put his hands on you, it's a wrap. So it works. Matt Riddle just being goofy as can be, and it's like, he's like a damn puppy dog, where it's like, I don't want to see this shit, but I can't help myself. It works. And I know it works because they keep doing it and they keep working. It's like,
yeah,
they keep having these little games. I'm seeing Randy Orton in a damn toga. Like, and they care.
You're going to see him in a broga, not a toga.
You're absolutely right. And I'm like, this should not be working. Ornery ass Randy Orton out here cracking jokes and just being this lovable baby face while still being a curmudgeon is working. And I'm like, yeah, I see that. I see Brock Lesnar. I don't know what Sable did to his food or what changed with Brock Lesnar. We're going to finish talking about Brock Lesnar. Forget the other stuff on Raw. That shit don't matter. It's like, whatever. It's counting on WrestleMania season. The Brock Lesnar thing, I've been waiting to get on the show with you for a long time. About that, I don't know what changed. I don't know why it changed. Something changed. Brock Lesnar's happy. Brock Lesnar's having fun. He's cracking jokes. He's out here just being like, I'm just having a good old time. I'm cutting promos in French. I'm dressed like Wolverine. Every time I got a top knot, a Viking beard. All he misses is an axe. He's having a great old time. Yeah, I'm going to show up on Raw. I'm going to show up on SmackDown. I'm going to be on people like, this man is working. And I'm like, what happened? What changed?
Your guess is as good as mine, because I have no idea. It's been a trip enjoying this whole thing. I guess I knew that Lesnar could talk. I also did not know that he was going to be some type of comedic gem for us to have around here.
He used to cut promos all the time, but that was like his first time. But ever since he came back, he barely talked. Paul Heyman did all the talking. But now he's talking, cracking jokes, like just having a blast. Like, I'm happy to be here. I'm having fun at his old ass age. And I'm like, it's just amazing, because it's like, it's awesome, but it's like, what happened? Like, I have not heard anyone say what changed in Brock Lesnar's life for him to be like, I love going to work and I love having fun while still beating people up.
I don't feel like I've seen any reports out there that have given information as to why that's the case. It just seems to be that it is. I mean, Brock Lesnar, like, full-on babyface. Did we even see that on his first go-round?
No, you saw a little bit where it's like he was joking around with Kurt Angle. And you saw him, like, you saw, like, maybe 30% of this. Where it's like, even when he was a babyface, he was still, like, I mean, he was cutting promos, but it was like this type of promos. It was more like, I'm still tough. It's more like professional courtesy. Where like, but this shit right here, no. He was not doing this. He was doing some of this goofy shit when he was a heel. Like, I remember him feuding with Eddie Guerrero. He come up with the sombrero and the mariachi band. And I definitely remember when he came out the Money Bank and he came out the briefcase like a boombox. And then 1 week they had his music be some rap music and people was damn losing their damn mind, like, don't have for like Brock was this, and but that was like him, yeah. Brock knows this a little bit. This current shit now, no, he's never done this. Never.
Yeah, because it's not even like, just, what was that? Wasn't he a coach on Tough Enough or whatever that was called for the UFC?
Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah, the Ultimate Fighter. And like, he didn't even show, to me, he didn't even show this level of personality there. I thought it was fun, and I watched it specifically because he was on it. But yeah, this type of character, never would have guessed it, that it was coming out of him. Never would have guessed it.
But he did, and it just stands out even more because it's such a contrast with Michael Corleone Reigns, where it's just this whole, acknowledge me, and you're going to respect me, and as soon as you don't respect him, his lips start twitching. Like Kay told me, she just had an abortion. You remember, I see the Godfather too. Every time Roman gets pissed off, his bottom lips start twitching. He's like, somebody spit when he's and it trips me out the whole time. And then Lashley basically being the kingpin. Like, I don't know where he gets his suits, but God bless him. His whole thing is, and I did notice when they were in Colorado, they were treating him like a babyface.
Oh.
As much as he was a heel, and he was trying, like, yeah, I'm going to win, I'm going to beat him, I'm going to show him the best. And he was chanting for him. So, and yeah, I'm glad we said Raw because we didn't have to talk about Goldberg. I don't know why. It's a contract. And it's like, we knew it was coming. And I didn't even get mad because, like, we know why.
Yep. They're filling times and waiting until this Goldberg contract runs out. I don't think there's really a whole lot of mileage to get out of Goldberg at this point.
Look, this is, I blame all, we can wrap up with this. That's why I hate nostalgia. This is the fans' fault. He came out, cut that one great promo, and it's like, oh, I miss Goldberg, and look what y'all got. See, you didn't learn a lesson when that happened with Hulk Hogan. Y'all cheered against The Rock at WrestleMania, and then next thing you know, he's taking a belt off Triple H, and it's like, oh yeah, now we got Hulk Hogan as a champ at less than a month. Y'all learn y'all lesson from doing that. Stop doing that. Stop, like, I miss such and such. He needs to be the champ. And then next thing you know, he the champ is like, oh, I didn't mean it. And he's been getting paid ever since off one great promo and beating Brock Lesnar at 30 seconds. So,
yeah.
I hope you like, nostalgia's dangerous. Like, let the nostalgia be to the level like Lita wrestling for the title, and which is funny because like I'm glad Lita's finally getting respect. Like they've always treated her like the B. Like it should have been 1-on-1A with her and Trish, and they always treated her like she was like second fiddle. So to see her now getting her chance, like get her shine, is awesome. Unexpected, but awesome. Like, kudos to all these old women come back. Beth Phoenix is talking about, I'm leaving NXT because I got to take care of my kids. No, that heifer left NXT to go to the gym.
What? You noticed?
Kids came back, her arms bigger than her husband's. And not from doing no bicep curls with her children.
Oh man, yeah, I was jealous of her arms. I think anyone should be, honestly.
What was I? It's like, oh, I just need to spend more time with my family. My family's the damn weights.
I think that's the one thing that the women have done, and I don't know if it's out of practicality or out of smarts. They haven't worn out their welcome. Like, Trish kind of got involved in a handful of matches there. Yeah. Like, because I feel like she had a match against Sasha and Charlotte somewhat close together or something like that. But they haven't burnt out any of the women. Like, they don't bring them back on the regularity that someone like a Goldberg gets pulled back in.
Yeah, because they rotate them.
Yeah.
That's why. And it's kind of, they have enough where they can go up and down the thing. And it's kind of like, you know, you got Trish and you got to lead a certain level. And then if you're going to go lower down, you're going to have somebody like, you know, Melina or Alicia Fox. Like, it's basically like, you know, Beth Phoenix basically has that spot where you're not doing Trish Alita, and you want a big deal, you're going to get Beth Phoenix. The Bellas now are kind of like, they're going to be Trish Alita like 3 years. Now it's kind of like, we just retired, but we're a big deal. They are a big deal, contrary to what fans think. And it's a funny thing when I look at the Women's Royal Rumble, and it's kind of like, yeah, it's just it's such a era that wrestling, someone had, like, Melina was a big deal for a while. Just kind of forgot because it was a weird time of wrestling. Like, Alicia Fox was awesome. We just thought about, she was just a damn goofball, but how influential she was in the ring. And it's just kind of, it was like two whole eras of women that kind of got like post Trish and Lita. Because you just think about Tori Wilson just tolling away, never fighting for a title because they didn't have a title on SmackDown. And then it's kind of like, you know, you think about the Kelly, Michelle McCool, Maurice eras. Like,
well, yeah, it happened. Candice Michelle would have been in there too.
Yeah. Like, it's a lot of words. Like, they're happy they did the thing, but they never got to train the right way. They didn't have a developmental like that where it was like push. And it really wasn't until the Bellas, Eve Torres, AJ, where it started to change before the Horsewoman came.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
And then ever since then, it's like, give Divas a chance. And now you're just thinking, oh, they've been, like, Sasha, they've been wrestling for a long ass time.
Oh.
And that's the thing where it just sinks in, where it's like, I remember when it was brand new, but that was a long time ago. A long time ago.
Yeah, and that's
the same age with the men.
I can't believe how long there are times where I'm like, I can't believe the Four Horsewomen have been on the roster for that long now. I know it's not a decade, but it's like 6 or 7 years. Like,
they're on year seven.
Okay.
Yeah, 7 years. Like, they came in 2015. So I don't know if it'll trip you out, the fact that they've been doing it for 7 years, or the fact that Natalya has been doing it for a lot. Like, she is the damn.
She's the boat.
The woman division. Look, people make fun of her, and it's a reason why they do that, because she's kind of like, you know, very self-absorbed. But it's kind of like, when do you think she got the main roster?
Oh, it had to have been in the tens sometime, right?
2008.
Oh my gosh. I was thinking early 2008.
Tens. 2008. Oh. So she's been doing this on the main roster for 14 years and is still doing it. Yeah, you get to call yourself the damn goat if you want. Because most women are not doing it that long, but when they do it, they, for like, 14 years is a long time for a woman. It's a long ass time.
Yes, it is. That's like, does anyone really even have a career that's that long, honestly? What, will we be looking at Moolah or someone like that?
Just think about it. She used 2008. Tamina was 2010.
Oh, wow.
So, recently, that's a perfect time to wrap it up. Leave these women alone, because y'all made jokes, and y'all, like, you know when I learned that? It really sunk in. Remember when they was in wrestling for the tag titles at Mania? And, like, why is Tamina getting this a charity case? And Tamina's Twitter friends jumped down everybody's neck. There's people like, oh, Tamina got a fan base? I'm like, she been around for a decade. These women had fan bases. They ain't just AJ Lee. They ain't just the Bellas. It's like, no. Don't talk about this one online. They had fans. And when I learned that Tamina has a fan base, I learned that's like, yeah, leave that alone. You do not want that type of energy on Twitter.
It was
belligerent too. They put respect on Tamina. She a trailblazer. She did this, this, and that. And the guy was like, huh? And it's like, we're looking at it from our perspective. We're not looking at it from them. It was like, a lot of women watch wrestling because of Total Divas. That's how they got into wrestling. A lot of women, like, they enjoy different things. Like, a lot of women love Maryse and Kelly Kelly. Like, Kelly Kelly was a damn icon. Looking like that in wrestling, we worry about damn snapsuits. Damn, some women don't care about that shit. That is not important to them. It's the same reason, like, just like Hulk Hogan doing a snap suplex wasn't important to Hulk Hogan fans. Like, keep that indie energy for the indies. Stop translating it to every single thing. It don't apply. And somebody made a good point. I forgot who it was. They said, well, the biggest change in wrestling is less people stop trying to be like Dusty Rhodes and to be like Roger Strong. And it's like, ring work is fine, but anybody can learn and be a good wrestler if they work hard enough. What Dusty Rhodes did is not harder, because Dusty Rhodes was able to get the fans involved by just flapping around like a chicken and doing goofy stuff, but made it seem important. He made his matches seem important just by him and his passion, energy. That's what Ric Flair did. That's what Hogan did. Austin, The Rock, and John Cena. They made you care based off of them. What about moves? Now the whole thing is we got to do a zillion moves. So now you got to do a spinning power driver into a flaming table for a two count.
Oh,
it's a limit to which you can do, and it's kind of like that's why I was kind of a bit snobbing from the indies. It's like y'all doing too much. That's why y'all get to the main roster all broken up. You see how Samoa Joe moving around like. No, cut that shit out. Stop doing all that silly shit. So by the time you finally get money, you can last 2 or 3 years because your body all broken down. And that's like, no. It's supposed to be choreographed. Stop doing it like it's real. Didn't Japan teach y'all don't do that? Everybody be laying on their necks and be dying from a German suplex. No. I'm not dying on the job to make it feel more impactful. Unless my job is the army, and it's not, be that shit be. And that's all I got to say about that.
Okie dokie. Well, I will end on my Beltane beer. This was one that I picked up in Detroit when I was up there for Kent State's losing effort in the MAC championship game. Eastern Market Brewing Company, Raspberry Ghost. It has a nice raspberry flavor, which dovetails with the sourness that is provided naturally in a ghost beer. So if you get a chance and you happen to be in the Michigan area, I would take a chance. I've liked all the beers that I've drank from Eastern. What was that? Eastern Market Brewing, which is in Detroit there. High suggest from at DeFrango11. Our brand is at Stunt Granny. You can download us at any places, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. And the reviews are at Apple. So do that, and I will let is it Philly Drugs again? I can't
remember. Yes, it's Philly Drugs. And before we go, we can announce the 2022 class of the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Ooh.
Tony Baselli, Cliff Branch, Leroy Butler, Sam Mills, Richard Moore, Brian Young, Dick Vermeil, and Art McNally.
Sounds like a pretty solid class.
Yes, and people complain about Zach Thomas not making it. And they're going to keep on complaining. His time will come. It took Tony Baselli for a long time, so it's like Zach Thomas and Devin Hester. Your time will come. Just relax, because I'm tired of people comparing Zach Thomas to Brian Urlacher. They're like, stop being nerds. Like, you know why Brian Urlacher is the way he is? Because he was a great linebacker on the Chicago Bears. Like, if you agree with the Chicago Bears, it's gonna be more noticeable than if you're a great linebacker on the Dolphins. Just goes. Same thing. Same way, if you're still a linebacker, great, you're going to get noticed. If you're a great linebacker on the Detroit Lions, then good luck.
Yeah, I guess I was happy to see during the show here, I did take a peek and see that my boy TJ Watt won Defensive Player of the Year in the National Football League this year, which
Yeah, I hope. I hope they don't have any more brothers. Jesus Christ! It's like there's more of them. Brothers are both one defensive player of the year, and it's like that's difficult. Like your family's so good that y'all both excellent. Like that, not common. There's nobody Jose Canseco and Ozzie Canseco. That's like if Sidney Crosby had a winger was his little brother. Like no, like it doesn't work that way. Nobody's brother sucks.
Even like I guess I'm thinking as much. I have enjoyed the Manning cast this past year. I know that Eli has more Super Bowl championships than Peyton. But I'd never compare the two. Amount. Oh, same amount. Oh, well, shit. Yeah. I still would never compare the two. Even at that point. Like, I'd definitely put Peyton way above Eli.
This I would say before we sign out. You know why I know sports isn't fair? Because Nick Foles and Eli Manning have the same amount of rings as Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers. That's all you need to know about arguing about rings and team sports. So on that note, we are out.